And our last panel is Ben Woolsey, Andrew Brust, and Jay Sulzberger.
Good afternoon. My name is Andrew Brust. I'm the Chief of New Technology at 26 New York. We're a consultancy specializing in application development, business intelligence, and other software technologies. I'm also a native New Yorker and a former technology professional with the City of New York. In the mid and late 80s, I was a programmer at the Parks Department, and later I was the Computer Systems Director at the Department of Cultural Affairs. I'm sure you can understand that given my career history and my current position, I have great interest in this legislation. The language in Intro 991 seems to implicitly speak to a number of important features, advantages, and a technology premise for the city's data sharing platform. But a number of these points deserve to be called out explicitly, so I hope it's okay that I do so briefly here. And beyond those points, there are just a few extras that I wanted to touch upon. My first one was on raw data, so I think we've covered that in droves. And I don't need to repeat it, but what I would say is that if agencies want to build a more end-user application on top of the platform, that should be fine, but that shouldn't really be the priority. The priority should be the platform. If the data is provided in the right format, then transformation of it from machine-readable to human-readable should be almost trivial. Today, the ATOM syndication format, which is a particular schema within XML, is a common format for arbitrary structured data, and it can be rendered in human-readable form by most modern web browsers. The representational state transfer, or REST standard, is arguably the most popular service protocol for allowing such data to be queried, and so I would certainly recommend that ATOM and REST be supported. But the reality is that there are other formats. I've listed some of them in my testimony. I don't think I need to read through all of them. But ultimately, there's going to be a number of formats currently and a number of formats that have yet to emerge, and it's going to be important to support all of them. And the way to do that, of course, is to put something in a good kind of standard unified format and then have a platform where that format can be easily transformed into other formats through XML technologies or others. It might also be worth considering that the system should allow writing data in addition to reading it. City residents should be able to submit a tenant permit request through this platform, pay a parking ticket, or even a water bill or a city income tax bill. City natives should be able to request a copy of their birth certificates, and numerous other submissions should be accepted in addition to mere queries for information. Back on the reading side, users and systems should be able to retrieve non-structured data, including archival photographs of specific city lots, maps, titles and deeds, audio from major speeches made by the mayor, and video of the council meetings and hearings as well. Ultimately, this could make up for the loss of WNYC-TV. The fact that Channel 31 was a video authority of record and the loss of it has been significant. The data platform contemplated by this bill, if it supports rich media in addition to textual data, could bring about services that fill that gap from when WNYC was sold off, and it could go well beyond what linear TV, broadcast television can do. Beyond the formats, protocols, and contents that are produced, the system will require innovations in licensing as well. There was some mention of this previously. The availability of the data that this platform could produce will enable unprecedented analyses, products, and services useful for both commercial and social service pursuits. But to make possible a number of different query and data visualization services, applications will need to cache, aggregate, slice and dice the system's data. To do so, they will need to stage the data in local or hosted databases, and the city should expressly permit this so as not to impede the innovation that would result. Beyond a permissive regime around the availability of the data, the city will also need to allow companies to make a market and to charge for the value-added services they build on top of the public platform. Certainly, companies shouldn't be charging for the mere redistribution of the data, but they should be permitted, indeed encouraged, to build user-friendly front ends, interesting mashups, innovative analyses, and inventive integrations of the platform's data. Google Maps should be able to show where the big potholes are. Zagat should be able to indicate which restaurants have a Sterling Health Department inspection record. WebMD should be able to create heat maps showing which neighborhoods are hardest hit by an epidemic. and the New York Times ought to be able to indicate which boroughs and neighborhoods are getting the most or least arts funding. Retail consultancies should be able to show which precincts are best and least served by certain types of shops. Tourists should be able to see where the cheapest hotel rooms are and where the most availability exists. Members of this committee should be able to see how well Verizon is living up to its commitment to deploy Fios service to all areas in all five boroughs. Children's Aid Society should be able to illustrate where concentrations of child homelessness and abuse exist. Food for Survival should be able to show which ethnic, geographic, economic, and age groups are most susceptible to hunger in the city. And none of these organizations should have to stop and wonder whether they are using or republishing the data in some unauthorized form. I'll just kind of skip to just a couple more points to keep it brief. The city and its agencies should be permitted to implement the back-end platform for this system as they see fit, whether they do so using Java, PHP, Ruby, C#, Visual Basic, or even COBOL. I would imagine that agency implementations would need to be signed off upon or certified by DoIt, but as long as they produce their output and solicit their input using the correct formats, standards, protocols, and interfaces, that should meet whatever litmus test may exist. And I'd like to close on an issue of civic pride. The city of New York is a unique municipal government within the state. Most cities are contained within counties. The city of New York, as you well know, comprises five counties. And the services that in other parts of the state are delivered by special districts, incorporated villages, towns, cities, and counties. And as such, our data standard system should serve as a model for each of these distinct types of government within the state. So let's not just do this the right way. Let's do this in an unprecedentedly exemplary, creative, and exciting way. Let's make this the time in history when the economy was down, but the great tradition of commerce and ingenuity in the city of New York was nonetheless invoked to bring about innovation, opportunity, and a new standard in good government adopted by other governments in New York and other states. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. You're going to be the last speaker, because so why don't you come and sit up there. Go ahead, Jay.
Let's see. I'm not sure what to say. So much has been covered, and so much has been said that I wanted to say. So you can
summarize, sir.
Yeah, okay. I'm obviously on your side, Gail, on Intro 991.
Okay.
And I'll just a few sentences. In truth, open standards can only be defended by free software, and I won't include a discussion of the mechanism here. And finally, the last thing brought up about the issue of people doing add-ons and everything, well, look, if the data's published and by the city of New York and it's freely licensed, then, of course, if it's freely licensed, then indeed, if somebody can figure out a way to put something in the front of it and make money off it, that's what free licensed means. It means that that can be done. In addition to being reproduced for no money, somebody can make money off it by packaging it up. They can't further restrict the actual data, of course. Okay, and then finally, I suggest the solution to the portal problem. A portal can be very simple. It can be a web. If there are 80 agencies, it can be a web page with 80 lines and links, and that can be the portal. I was a little bit surprised to hear the fellow from the W3C worrying about the portal. If the portal is heavy, ugly, and incomprehensible, such as, please forgive me, SourceForge, the default thing, which is almost impossible to use. But if it's more like Google, or as I say, a single, simple, near-text web page with a line for every single agency and a link then to the agency's own web page, that solves it. I believe in portals. There should be a central point. Thanks.
Thank you. Jay, just introduce yourself.
I'm Jay Sulzberger. I used to do a lot of propaganda with various free software groups. I don't do much nowadays. I've retired to a position working for Jay Sulzberger. I've retired to a position as consultant. I guess I'm a hire to some consulting company that does some statistics for HRA.
It's okay. You can hear.
Hi, my name is Keza Kleiman, and I've been with Nonprofit Help Desk, which is a project of the Jewish Community Council of Greater Coney Island for a number of years. I'm not going to date myself.
The mic is hard to move, so she's having trouble moving it. So go ahead.
Oh, I think I got it this time. Okay. The first thing I'd like to mention is, you know, the first administrative testimony highlighted all the problems that we will have in trying to do this. Having heard this kind of thing before, I have to say, we shouldn't really let that get in our way. Let's put it that way.
It won't.
Knowing you, I don't believe it will. I think that there are a lot of this stuff, you know, a lot of the advantages have been mentioned. I think it needs to be highlighted that the issue of open standards is important not just for citizens, but also the data sharing between organizations, which is something that I know has been a huge issue that's been talked about more than once. I think it's a really, really important issue, and I think that, you know, even if we're talking about cost, I think that eventually the cost saving of being able to share data efficiently should help really, really cut the cost of creating open standards, open data standards, that if citizens can share them, then certainly other agencies can manage to make use of that data as well. So it's killing two birds with one stone as far as I'm concerned. Okay. I think in talking about open, we've been talking about accessibility by, you know, people, organizations, whatever. I think we really need to keep in mind that whatever goes up there needs to be handicapped accessible, something I don't think I heard anybody mention, but I think it's a huge, huge issue. If there is a constituency that really could use the web, it's people who have handicaps of various sorts, whether it's mobility, visual, et cetera, and I think it would be a crying shame not to put that in from the ground where it's a lot easier to design it in than to add it on afterwards, so it's a really big issue. Another issue that was touched on but I think really wasn't addressed were privacy concerns. I'm concerned in two directions. One is that I've seen too many, you know, I keep up on this stuff, and many municipalities have used privacy concerns as, in my opinion, an excuse to not share important data. And I think that needs to be, you know, addressed up front. But at the same time, and that's, I think, a good reason why there need to be policies and procedures in place, private data should not be shared, you know, inappropriately, and that has to be, again, built into the whole thing from the ground up rather than tacked on later. Okay. I do think that there is a place for easy-to-understand formulations of data, but as others pointed out, there are different ways of looking. What's English to me is literally not English to someone else. So I think that both things need to be done. I think that's been covered. You know, I don't need to get into more detail that. I would like to make the point about tech neutrality, which was raised by somebody else. Besides the fact of all the possible applications that can be built on a tech neutral platform, in terms of accessibility, the more technology neutral a platform the data will be, the easier it will be for people and organizations with low resources to make use of that data. I don't need to necessarily have the latest and greatest, you know, machines that can handle, you know, the latest version of Silverlight and whatnot. If I can get it at a very basic level, then even I can put it in turn, say, on a new project, on an old machine, and, you know, do something useful with it. So I think that tech neutrality serves a lot more than just the business. It also serves the, you know, less enfranchised communities. I would just like to mention two examples of what people had mentioned prior testimonies had mentioned of the unexpected things that the city can't be expected to necessarily. It's in beta, but it's publicly accessible. A search engine called Wolfram Alpha. Now, don't ask me why they call themselves that, but it is a fascinating, it is a fascinating site. You get on there and ask questions, and it basically pulls together data, huge amounts of statistical data, to answer questions but this can only be done if the raw data is there. It couldn't necessarily do it if it just had like the two-line summaries that somebody in the city decides, but if there's all that raw data, you know, the calculations and computations can be done. And this is great because nobody has to think in advance, well, what is somebody going to need? So this is a really cool example. And, you know, the mashups, you know, the Google Maps mashups, they're another very good example of the kind of stuff that can be done when data is freely accessible.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Andrew, for all your background that you brought to the hearing today. And so thank you very much. I do want to say in conclusion that I think everyone agrees that the time is right for open government data it should be done in the right way and making all public data available. And I thought what was interesting about today was it was pointed out can be person-friendly in one format and have the raw data at the same time because you have different users with different needs. And the fact of the matter is they're not they're compatible. They're not mutually exclusive. And I hope that the discussion today leads the administration to understand that we're really serious about this. There's a lot of interest. And I think that we can come to an agreement about what should be online. Thank you very much. This hearing is concluded. Thank you. Jay, shush.
I don't know if that's okay, it's not done. I'm sorry. Thanks, Gail.